Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
Welcome to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon, and it is my joy to have my dear friend of 40 years as our special guest, Janet Nagabur. Welcome to Faith Matters, a conversation about your wonderful new book, George H. Mahon, West Texas Congressman, A Witness to History. But before we talk about George Mahon, let's talk about Janet.
I married a West Texas farmer. Actually, I grew up in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast. Moved out here. It was a surprise. But anyway, as I learned to know the people, I learned to love them very much. After some years, that marriage fell apart, and I decided not to go back to Mississippi. My friends are here, and my life is here.
You taught for a while at the Catholic school
at St. Joseph's in Slayton. Yes, I did. I taught 3 years there, and those were good years.
Fond remembrances of some of the sisters.
Oh, I do. Yes, and the students. They were really a joy to teach.
Very early on, you became associated with the Southwest Collection. Tell us about that.
After I divorced, it was obvious I was going to have to work. I had a friend who was the director of the Ranching Heritage Center, and I worked there during my first summer doing research on the kind of furniture that would have been in the house that came from Los Escarbados Ranch on the XIT, that division. I realized then that that might be an opportunity for me because I worked in the Southwest Collection to get material. And Sylvan Dunn and David Murr were there at that time, and I had known David through history classes. When the fall rolled around, Sylvan said, if you'd like to work here, we do have an opening. And I took it right away, and I've been there ever since.
Remind our listeners this Sunday afternoon of where the original collection was, Southwest Collection.
The building that is currently the math building was initially the history building. When the historians moved over to Holden Hall, they left us behind. I guess initially, though, the first use it had was that of a library. Elizabeth Howard West was the one who closed the wrought iron gates and had a little spot in the back where people could do research. And that was the very beginning of the Southwest Collection.
It's wonderful to remember these modest beginnings and how the Southwest Collection has grown into a magnificent repository.
Thank you.
Of so many aspects of the history of the Southwest and many other things, too.
I think we have a fine collection, and we do have scholars from around the world who come to work there.
It was out of that close association with the Southwest Collection that you came to know George Mahon and also came to know his papers when the papers were transferred to the Southwest Collection.
I started working there part-time in the fall of 78, and that was when the papers began to come in. But I was working full-time in January of 79 when the last of them arrived. And I have this little incident in the book. We had just had a snowstorm, and the snow had melted, and we had three guys working there who knew they were extremely capable. So they went out to unload the papers, and the rest of us stood at the window and watched. And sure enough, they got the forklift stuck in the mud. And so we knocked on the window, and we laughed and carried on. Finally, they got the thing out and started moving the boxes in, and that was the final arrival of George Mahon.
Before we came on air, you were talking about the number of boxes that house this one magnificent human being, statesperson, icon for me, really, in terms of public service and the amount of papers that a subsequent colleague of his in Alaska had. Just share that with our listeners.
Well, his collection is 624 boxes large. Our dean of libraries, Dr. Bella Gerlich, came from Alaska, and her library had received the papers of George Stevens, and they were 4,500 boxes. They do know how to generate paper in Congress. I don't know if they can do anything else, but they do know how to generate paper.
A wonderful man and a wonderful legacy. Jen, I think it's important for you to share with our listeners, in terms of the history of the congressional district that we have, remind our listeners of what papers we hold at the Southwest Collection.
We have George Mahon's papers, and he was the first representative of the 19th Congressional District. And the book details how this was established in 1933 by Ma Ferguson, the governor of Texas, after the 1930 census. Part of it came from the 16th Congressional District and part from, I think, the 23rd from out of Amarillo. Marvin Jones was the representative there. So Mahon was the first occupant of that chair. And then Kent Hance took his place. And after that, Larry Combest and then Randy Naugebauer. And we have all of those papers. So it's just right for a scholar to come in there and do a history of the entire 19th Congressional District. So you can see it going from a true Democrat district, Yellow Dog Democrat, to a totally Republican district now. You can see that transition, yes.
What drew you to George Mahon to begin with?
Well, working in the Southwest Collection, and people always said someone needs to do an in-depth study of George Mahon's life, a biography. Dr. Lawrence Graves started this, and he worked on it for a number of years, and he would come in, and I knew him. I had taken his classes, and I also knew him as a researcher in the Southwest Collection. One day the phone rang, and he was on the other end. And he said, "Janet, my health has gotten to the point that I can't finish this project, and I would like you to finish it for me." And I said, "Well, I don't know that I can." He said, "I'll just look around then and see what I can find." And I thought about it that night, and I thought, "Well, you know, maybe I can." And I called him back the next morning, and I said, "I want to give it a try if you're still interested." He said, "Oh, yes, I am. This is a relief." I said, "Now you must help me." "Oh, I'll do that." Well, about 5 weeks later, he died. He had started it. He was going to write not only about his congressional activities on, but about agriculture, because that's so important to this district. I couldn't do that. The book would have been huge. So I backed it up. I kept a few of his things from chapter one. I did the rest myself. Emphasized his work on the Appropriations Committee.
Which captures the history of this district, but also the entire country. And in addition to the country, appropriations in our involvement through so many presidents with so many international events.
Well, he had a greater impact on the Appropriations Committee than he could have ever had on the Agricultural Committee, because he couldn't get onto that committee. But when he got onto appropriations, he finally got into a position where he could write the bill. He could author it. And it went his way. And he had great input into the Ag Committee. He always visited with these people and stayed abreast of what they were doing, but he couldn't write that bill.
Jenna, we'll take a short break and we'll continue this fascinating conversation about this wonderful life of George Mahon.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon, and it's my delight to have as our special guest, Janet Naugebauer, a conversation about your wonderful new book, George H. Mahon, West Texas Congressman, A Witness to History. I like the authors to read from their book. You have an opening piece you would like to share with us.
This is a story of a man who went to Congress in 1935 when the House Committee on Appropriations still allocated a small amount of money to buy military horses. 44 years later, when George Mahon retired as chairman of that same committee, It was debating funds for a 2,000-mile-an-hour bomber. Spanning nearly a half century that took in almost the entire Cold War, Mahon's career grew from that of a country lawyer to one of the most powerful men in Congress. And this book focuses on his signature work, his service on the House Committee on Appropriations.
You had identified that that's the part of his public service in Congress that you wanted to work with because it captures so much of the history and so much of him as a person and as a congressman.
And he had an impact on that committee. As chairman of the subcommittee and as chairman of the full committee, he could write the bills. He held hearings, but he got to write the bill the way he thought it should be, take it to the House and defend it on the floor. So he had a great impact on it.
Born in Louisiana.
In Louisiana, in Claiborne Parish.
His family moved to West Texas.
Yes. He was 8 years old when they moved. They got off the train in Mitchell County. They had very little resources. Also, his father's mother and unmarried sister lived with them, his mother and father, and there were 8 children. So it was quite a large family. His father did begin to acquire some land. They were never well off. They all had to work. But he did instill in his children that it was good to work and that they should also participate in civic activities if they possibly could.
And honesty and integrity, which characterized this man's whole lifetime, personal and professional.
His father insisted that the children be honest. If he ever caught them in a dishonest situation, it was not good. So he taught them that they must have honesty, integrity, a willingness to work, and just a positive ethos on life.
And then moving on to college at Abilene.
It was Simmons College at that time.
Now known as Hardin Simmons.
Yes. There wasn't money enough for him to stay in school, so his father wrote that he would probably have to come on home. He talked to the president of the university, who said, "I know a man who has always wanted to mentor someone who needed some help," and he sent him to see Judge Ely. They became very close. Mahon borrowed money from Ely, $200 at a time, as he needed it, and then paid him back with interest. Even though the debt was fully paid, they were like a father and son. Ely took a big interest in his career, and the opening paragraph in Chapter 1 is the letter that Mahon sent to Ely on the day that he was inaugurated. The first thing he did was go to his office and send that letter, thanking him for the support.
I love the intimacy of the letters that you record in the book.
His method of writing those letters was a little unique. He would dictate them. His secretary would type off 10 or 15 copies and he'd send them out. So nobody got an original, but they all got something. In those letters, he could express how he really felt about things, knowing that that information would not get back to Washington. You know, he felt that his confidence would be kept.
But there was a private life. All of us that wrote letters in that era.
That was his private life. And that was the only way I could really get into his head.
After Simmons on to the law school, then he comes back to...
to Lorain.
Going towards San Angelo and San Antonio.
And not too far away from Sweetwater. People probably recognize that. But he practiced law in Colorado City. He practiced with a man named Thompson. I can't think of his first name now. When the district was established by Governor Ma Ferguson in 1933, the two of them talked about running for the district. Thompson said he really had ranch land that he needed to take care of for his family, and they decided that Mahon was probably the best one to run. Mahon said that he wanted to do that because he would not have to put someone else out of office. You know, it was brand new. The election was held in 34, and he was inaugurated in 35.
So then the first years in Congress, he arrives by train, Helen, his wife.
And his daughter, Daphne.
And they arrive in D.C.,
Ewing Thompson was close to him. Ewing Thompson had been the representative for the 16th Congressional District, and the 19th was carved out a part of that, so he already knew him. The book details how Thompson took him around to meet people, and one of the people he took him to meet was Vice President Garner. And Thompson said, "Now, before we go in, I need to tell you, he will offer you a drink, a nip, before lunch, and you'll have to decide what to do." Well, Mahon never in his life drank one drop of alcohol, period. So he knew what he was going to do. Garner said, "Come in, plebe." So that was the beginning of that chapter. And at the end, he said, I think as a young man, you will go places in Congress. And that proved to be the case. You know, he was the debate champion at Simmons. And so he learned how to present his argument and convince people without entering into conflict. And he practiced that all of his days. He tried to reason with people to get them to see his way rather than arguing with them or threatening them.
We'll take a short break and then we will continue this fascinating story. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon, and it's my delight to have as our special guest, Janet Nagabor, a conversation about your wonderful new book, George H. Mahon, West Texas Congressman, A Witness to History. Before we went on break, we had placed George Mahon, the beginning of his career, quickly begins to establish himself as a person of integrity and came to the notice of the party leadership.
He knew Harry Truman because they came to Congress at the same time. They would meet in the evenings in Rayburn's Board of Education. He had a room under the house and in the basement and talked about what was going on in Congress. So he knew Truman. When Truman became president, they were friends already. He worked very closely with Truman, then with Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, especially with Gerald Ford. He and Gerald Ford served on the Subcommittee for Defense Appropriations for 14 years together, and their philosophy of life was very similar. And then he worked 2 years with President Carter.
He really was a man for all seasons and for all parties and really for all times.
He did that on purpose. He said, I will serve my president. Party affiliations won't get into it. I will always be honest and straightforward about it. It's my job to serve the president.
As you write about and remember his involvement in World War II and what transpired in the tragedy of World War II and then subsequently in the rebuilding of Europe, what comes to mind in that context for you?
Well, I think one of the most interesting episodes at that time was his interaction with the development of the atomic bomb. During time of war, nearly any bill can be funded if the military sends it forward in order to win the war. Many times it's hidden. The atomic bomb needed to be very secret. One way to do this was to make sure that only one or two people knew the whole story. Others knew just a part. They would send their money, their requests through, called expediting production. And nobody knew what kind of production they were expediting. Finally, Albert Engel, who was on the War Department appropriations then because the military was divided between Army and Navy, who was his colleague, had been an accountant before he came to Congress. And he could see this money was being moved around and shifted, and he couldn't keep up with it. And he talked to Mahon about it. He talked to the other people on the subcommittee also, told them, he said, you know, if this is a boondoggle, we have put $2 billion into it, and our congressional careers are gone. So they decided to get to the bottom of it. And they told the military, Stimson was Secretary of War, and they told him, if we don't get answers, we're going to hold a hearing and we'll get answers at that time. Stimson said, wait, I think I can help you. So he took five people from the House and five from the Senate at different times to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, to see what was going on. And they were very close to the final development of it and really impressed. General Leslie Groves was in charge, and they stayed overnight and watched the separation of the plutonium out. You know, they were quite impressed. So the next morning when they left, Engel called Groves over to the side and said, "Come here, I want to talk to you." And Groves said, "Oh, here it comes." Well, when he got over there, he said, "We are impressed, and I just want to know, do you have enough money?" So they realized how important it was, you know. And Mahon was in on this. Another part that he played after World War II, he was part of a select committee chosen to go to Europe to survey the damage from the war. They went in 47. They were to come back with recommendations about how to rebuild Europe. George Marshall, who was Secretary of State, said, "If we fool around long enough, these people are not going to be able to rebuild, and it will come under the communist fold. We need to get in there and help them get back on their feet if we want to keep them democratic." Well, Mahon was one of a group that went over. His subcommittee was pulled out to go to Italy, Greece, and Trieste. And they visited with people. Others on the full committee went to different places. When they came back, they made recommendations to President Truman, and that became the Marshall Plan.
The Marshall Plan must have been one of the most wonderful outreach of the U.S.
And Mahon recognized also another aspect of it. He said, "We cannot live in this world alone. We need trading partners. And if we can build them up," and he presented this in Congress, "if we can build them up, they can buy our raw materials, make manufactured products, and we can buy from them. And we can get trade going again." And many of the people in government recognized that if we isolated ourselves long enough and completely enough, we'd be in this world all by ourselves and couldn't make it.
Would you read from George Wills when he was recognizing at his retirement the contribution that this wonderful man had made to us, our world, and to the many other worlds that he was intimately connected with?
In 1977, in the summer of 77, that he would not run again. And there were various reasons, and these are in the book. He wanted to give the district time to consider someone to take that seat and not have to do it at the last minute. So he announced that he would not be running for Congress again. Several days later, George Will wrote in the Washington Post that being 80 years old was a poor reason for the House to lose the services of a man whose abilities remain formidable. He went on, "Mahon is an American type, an alloy of piety, industriousness, reticence, and abstemiousness that once was a common and soon may be as scarce as a homing pigeon. Mahon was 6 feet two, erect and lean, and Will described him as looking as though he had been whittled from a fence post by the West Texas wind." He went on to say that government was better than it would have been if Mahon had not served, and that he was still as good a person as when he came.
Now, by way of conclusion to the first part of this two-part series, would you remind our listeners again the name of your book and where they can get it from?
It's A Witness to History, George H. Mahon, West Texas Congressman. It's published by Texas Tech University Press, and a phone call to them will tell you where you can get it. Barnes & Noble has it, and also Amazon.com has it.
The continuation of this fascinating conversation will occur next Sunday. Janet, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. A service of Texas Tech Public Media.